If you have a Bible, I invite you to go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Well, if you're here in the fall of 2022, Brad walked us through the book of Numbers, which recounts the story of Israel being delivered from enslavement in Egypt and then taken all the way through the wilderness up to the promised land. And because of their unbelief, God then led them back into the wilderness for 40 years. And all of those who had been led out of Egypt died in the wilderness except for Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And so then the Lord brought them back to the edge of the promised land again. And that's where we find ourselves here in Deuteronomy. So Moses, standing before the people, he said this. Read with me. "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So the main idea in these verses is to remember that the Lord our God leads and feeds his people. We're to remember that the Lord our God leads and feeds his people. And that's going to serve as our outline. In verse 2, we'll see that we're to remember how the Lord leads his people. And then in verse 3, the call to remember how the Lord feeds his people. So first, remember that the Lord leads his people. So in these two verses, there's really one direct command, and it's right here at the beginning of verse 2. It's the call to remember. God commanded Israel to remember these things because he knew how prone they were to forgetting them. So the other day, I was actually asked for some help with just a regular subtraction problem, just by hand. And I've done quite a bit of math in my time, and yet I found myself there. We had like a zero, and we were trying to carry a one, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I had completely forgot everything I learned in grade school. And so over the years, you know, without using elementary arithmetic, I had forgotten what I was supposed to do in a simple situation like that. I think most second graders could have put me to shame, and that would have been that. And so we are prone often to forget things that we don't rehearse and remember. Well, all through Deuteronomy, God is reminding the people through the prophet Moses to remember the things that he had done, to remember his salvation, how he had led them out of Egypt, and how he had brought them the whole way to the promised land. Just like my newly discovered arithmetic amnesia, the people of Israel were prone to have salvation amnesia. They had been delivered from Egypt by the mighty hand of Yahweh. He had used signs and wonders to bring them out. And though they had found themselves there on the edge of the promised land because he had brought them there, they were still prone to forget what he had done. And in particular, they were prone to forget that he was the one leading them and that he was, in fact, actually leading them. We may tend to think that it was Moses who led the people out of Egypt, and that he was the one who led them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And in some sense, that is true. But ultimately, it was the Lord who was leading. We also think that they just wandered around in those 40 years in the wilderness. But if you look again at verse 2, you can see that it was the Lord who led Israel out of Egyptian enslavement, and it was the Lord who continued to lead them during those wilderness years. Maybe you're one who has forgotten your purpose. Maybe you feel like you're wandering through this life. If so, I encourage you to call to mind all that the Lord has done in delivering you from sin's enslavement, and to call to mind all that he's continuing to do by leading you even now. God's purpose in leading his people the whole way, those 40 years, was so that he might humble them, testing them to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or not. God used the wilderness to humble the people and to reveal the state of their hearts. Well, in the famous Hall of Faith accounts that we see in Hebrews 11, there's a striking thing that happens, or rather doesn't happen, between verses 29 and 30. After recounting God-given faith throughout history, from Abel to Moses, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 29, "By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." And then he continues in verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days." Well, do you notice anything there? That was a 40-year jump between verses, and a sobering statement about the nature of Israel's wilderness wandering. Hebrews 11 skips over the time period because the people lacked faith. Instead of trusting God, unbelief ruled in their hearts. Friends, God is concerned with the state of our hearts. And in his grace, sometimes he uses trials to expose what's inside. We're prone to pridefully distrusting, just like ancient Israel was. Yet God is gracious to sanctify us through these trials by exposing our hearts to his word and then convincing us of our need for him, just like he did for Israel. God's purpose in giving us trials is our sanctification. But notice also his motivation. Listen as I read from Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. He says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Our good father's motivation in bringing trials to our lives is his deep love for us. Friend, do you see God's love in the daily challenges you face? Since every trial we receive is from his hand, we may at times feel ourselves questioning his goodness. It may feel like he isn't in control or he doesn't love us. But take heart. Further down here in chapter 8, Moses reminds the people of many of the ways that God had led them. And he finishes in verse 16 saying that God's purpose in all of these things was to do them good in the end. Friends, if your heavenly Father loves you, then his leading is for your good. So remember that the Lord leads his people to teach us dependence upon him. He leads us both in the easy times and in the hard times to grow our faith in his sovereignty. And that brings us to verse 3, where we'll see the call to remember that the Lord feeds his people. Look with me again at verse 2. He says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So we see here that verse 3 is building off of that command to remember in verse 2. It's a progression that points to an even greater purpose statement. God led the people the whole way in the wilderness for 40 years to reveal their unbelief, but he did that in order to teach them to trust and depend upon his commands, to depend upon the words from his mouth. And interestingly, Moses here says that God let them hunger and then that God fed them. And if you're like me, it's easy to think that eating or not eating is just purely in our control. But here we see that God has sovereignty even over food. For 40 years, God brought this unknown bread down from heaven each morning to feed his people. So I know you may not trust my math now after that little incident with arithmetic, but that's a little over 12,000 mornings of fresh Krispy Kreme dew on the ground. And for those of you who do check my math, the reason it's a little over 12,000 is God just brought down the bread 6 days a week, because on the sixth he gave them enough for the Sabbath, again, so that they would trust that he would provide. Exodus 14:6 says, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." This bread from heaven was meant to be a daily reminder of the deliverance from Egypt. It was their daily antidote for salvation amnesia. Each morning, God provided the people with just enough bread for that day. And since it would only last for one day, they had to trust that he would keep his word, and he would continue to provide day after day. It taught them dependence upon his promises. Since God commanded the manna to go forth, ultimately they learned to depend upon his words and to ground their hope in him rather than in physical things, the things of the world. Well, I wonder what things or what or whom are your eyes fixed upon? Do you recognize God's sustaining work in your life? And if so, does that recognition drive you to praise him? We're meant to look through the gifts that we receive and to the one who is giving them. And most of all, we're meant to worship him for the greatest gift of his son, Jesus Christ. As we saw this morning in John 6, Jesus said to the crowds, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus is the true bread who came down from heaven, and he gives life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." Friends, our sins became Christ's death, and Christ's righteousness has become our life. The only hope for true life, both now and forever, is to receive by faith the eternal sustenance of the living bread. And as we receive him, the gift of eternal life that we receive is him. Because to know Christ is eternal life. But if you're here and you haven't received this living bread, I hope you've seen how in Deuteronomy 8, how the life that you need is him, and how God has been abundantly gracious to provide him. In the wilderness, God denied bread, and then he gave daily bread, all to teach them about the divine bread. And friends, this divine bread is what you need. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So friend, if you don't believe, I invite you to turn from your sins and put your faith in Christ. Trust in him. Well, one final application for you, a challenge, is to devote time to fasting and memorizing scripture. This is a very practical duo, about as practical as you can get, to teach you to not rely on the physical bread, but instead to rely on the spiritual bread of God's word. These two disciplines train us to hunger for God by turning our dependence from the earthly things to the heavenly things. And in Matthew chapter 4, we see an amazing account of one more wilderness testing, one that also emphasizes the importance of memorizing scripture. And it's the testing of the Son of God himself. After his baptism, we read in Matthew 4:1 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus knew this scripture, and he depended on the words of God. Jesus is the true and faithful Israel. Just as God led Israel into the wilderness, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. But where Israel's testing revealed their sinful hearts, Jesus' testing revealed his righteousness. Where Israel distrusted God's word and grumbled, Jesus trusted his Father's words, and he was sustained by them. Where Israel failed in their wilderness testing, Jesus proved faithful. So friends, praise God. Praise God that Christ was faithful and that our Father provided him to us as our living bread. And when we do finally arrive at that promised land of the world to come, we too will say, with our hearts filled with joy, you have led us in your steadfast love, the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. But until that day, remember that the Lord our God leads and feeds his people. He leads us to teach us that he's sovereign, and he feeds us to teach us that he's our sustainer. Let's pray.